Good evening and welcome to episode 10 of the Two Guys, Three Consoles podcast. My name is Matt Leach, also known as the Leach Man, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Jeremy J. Monster Fowler. How are you doing, Hello. Jeremy?
Not bad. How are you?
Yes, very good. Thank you. Very good. I know. Another week of, the usual shit. We'll jump straight in here, I think, with the news. I'll let you go first with the news.
Okay. So the only thing I've got this week is that the Super Nintendo is getting faster in 2025.
Faster how?
The way it's running faster.
Right. Like the actual CPU clocks.
Yeah, like the processor and stuff.
Right, okay.
And they don't really know why.
They don't know why.
No. And so it's running faster now than it did in 1990 when it came out in like US and stuff in Japan.
So this is an emulated version of a SNES.
No, actual SNES. If you have original hardware and you boot it up in 2025, it will run faster than it was doing at the time it was made. And because it's doing that, some of the sound is not matching up with the games because the game is trying to run it too quickly. So the music is sounding a bit high pitched and running a bit quicker than the game does.
Interesting. Because I booted up an emulator before, not for the SNES. I think it was for the Amiga 1200 years ago, this was.
Right.
And you could mess about with the CPU clocks and that kind of thing. It messed up a lot of the games because the games just run too fast and that you can't control them. But having original hardware running faster than that was, that's weird.
Like 30 years ago, that's pretty bizarre, isn't it?
I've still got my SNES Mini, actually. I wonder, that's not original hardware, though, is it?
No, I've got one as well.
I don't even know what's inside it, to be honest. I never opened it up.
No? You didn't even switch it on?
I switched it on and played it, but I mean, actually opened up the case to see what was inside.
Oh, right, I see what you mean.
Probably just one circuit board, I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
That's pretty much what a SNES is, though, isn't it, really? It's on one board with an expansion slot, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Interesting, that is. Yeah. No one knows why.
Yeah.
Surely some clever person's got to come up with an idea.
Well, I think there's some group called Tazbot who are doing, like, tests and trying to figure it out as to why it's running quicker now than it did 30 years ago when it was first made. But it's
very bizarre. It is very bizarre. Weird.
Yeah.
Well, I've got one for Resident Evil fans such as us.
Yeah.
There was an article that came out a couple of days ago
asking
Resident 9 leaker, so somebody's leaked stuff about Resident 9, asked fans to brace for major changes.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't really allude to what these changes are.
Oh.
It just says Resident Evil 9 is a big reinvention of the series, a leaker claims.
Okay.
Let's see what they said here. Resident Evil 9 will almost definitely be revealed sometime this year. They also claim that the reason why it has been yet to revealed is due to the scope of the game. It is supposedly a big reinvention of the series, similar to how entries like Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil 7 revolutionized the franchise. So, what else can you do to a Resident Evil game which would change? What do you think?
So they're going to be more ambitious than the more recent, like 7 and 8. So I wonder if it'll still be first person.
Maybe they'll go back to third person. That's not a major shakeup, though, is it? They've done Resident Evil games.
I'm trying to think.
Go back to the fixed camera, like in Resident Evil 1 and 2.
Well, like that... I haven't played it again this week, but like that Sorry We're Closed that we talked to Brad about that I was playing last week, that's like that with the fixed angles.
Yeah, I doubt it, though.
I'd be very surprised.
It'd be interesting to see what they come up with. We know they're working on it, but they haven't released hardly any details on it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else they could possibly do that would be a major change.
I don't know, really. Maybe just fight with your fists, don't have any weapons. That'd be a major change, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. Keep our eye on that one. So yeah, that moves us into what have we been playing.
Yeah.
I think I'll kick off with this.
Okay.
I've been playing Liza P.
But
and I got a Platinum Trophy.
Oh, right. Okay. So we're doing Platinum Watch now as well then?
Kinda. We'll mix it up a bit.
Okay.
But hurrah. Liza P, platinum obtained.
Well done.
Thank you. After multiple, I think the two playthroughs in total was 50 hours.
Okay.
The first playthrough or new game was 35 hours.
Right.
And the new game plus was about 15. So that's about right. Mm-hmm. Where I ran past most of the enemies.
Yeah.
New game plus. Yeah, definitely a challenge. I mean, about halfway through New Game Plus, I'm like, am I actually going to do this?
Mm.
But then with the upgrades of certain, defense parts and, the leveling and that kind of thing. Even the Door Guardian, which I complained about the first time, wasn't too bad. It was...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it really wasn't that bad.
Even though you have stepping down three times instead of two?
I managed to do it in two, believe it or not.
Oh, all right.
Because I used the acid grindstone,
and
what you do just before you do the fatal attack,
mm-hmm.
you put your acid grindstone on, make sure your weapon's got full durability, and then do it, and it takes down almost half his health.
Right.
And then same again. So I managed to do it in two, not three, because I know you mentioned it took you three, but I did it in two.
Right, nice.
And then got all the way to Simon Manus. Yeah, did that. Took me a couple of attempts. And then Nameless Puppet, I was like, oh my God, this is going to take me ages.
Mm.
Did it in three attempts.
Awesome.
Which I was not expecting. So the strategy I was using worked really well, which was very similar to the one that I did in New Game. Not exactly the same, but got the trophies, got the platinum. So hurrah.
Okay, nice.
What else have I been playing? I've been playing a little bit more of Assassin's Creed Origins. I went back and just get me into the mood for Assassin's Creed Shadows, which mm-hmm. hopefully should be arriving on my doorstep sometime tomorrow.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So I'll be talking about that next week because I'll be playing it over the next week. I played a little bit more Luigi's Mansion 2 HD.
Yeah.
I played loads of it just because when I completed Liza P, I just had a little bit of a break from just playing anything. And that made me pick up a game called Killer Frequency, which is actually on PS Plus.
Okay.
It's been on my wish list for a while. I think I'd seen something about it ages ago. But this game is you are a radio show host.
Right.
Called Leonard, I think that's his name.
Okay.
And I've only played like an hour, maybe a little bit more than it last night. Basically, you're in this radio studio, this local radio studio with your producer sitting behind the glass. And this 911 operator comes on the line, says, I found the sheriff and he's dead.
And he's like,
what's going on? Why are you calling in and telling us this? Mm. Oh, I've rerouted all my 911 calls to your radio station. So any 911 calls are going to come your way. And they're like, what do you mean?
What?
Yeah. And they're like, we are not really equipped to do this. He said, well, you're the only people that I can do this for. There's nobody else available because it's such a small town. So it turns out there's this serial killer from the 1950s that was in this town.
Hmm.
And his trademark is whistling. So, he's called the Whistler something or other. And when this 911 operator is on the line to you, you hear this whistling in the background, and you have to guide this person out of the police station and let them escape this serial killer.
Okay.
Not explained why this serial killer is alive in the 2020s when he died in the 1950s, and it's not gone that far yet.
No.
Yeah, it's a clever little game. Team 17 made it, which I realized they were still around, to be honest.
Mm.
But whether I'll complete it or not, I don't know. I just put it on something a bit different.
Team 17 is the Worm guys, isn't it?
Worms. They did the Chaos Engine that I talked about a couple of episodes back.
Yeah.
They did, what else did they do? They did Pinball Magic, I think it was, and the Amiga. They did loads of stuff, Team 17.
Right. Yeah. Cool.
They did the one and only first-person shooter on the Amiga, which was a tiny little rectangle about, but it was very small on the screen.
Right.
Alien Breed 3D came out around about the same time as Doom.
Right.
Ran on Amiga at like 10 megahertz CPU. It wasn't
10 frames a second.
Yeah, it was pretty ropey even for the time. But yeah, No, so that's what I've been playing. What I'm assuming you've been playing mostly Wilds.
Yeah, I've playing Wilds. I am 60% done towards the platinum.
Excellent.
So there's not really that much to report on that. Really, I'm just sort of in the end game, fighting tempered monsters, trying to grind out some more trophies. And
have you had any problems with the hunts, like anything like that?
Not at all.
No.
No.
Have you been doing it solo, or have you been like jumping in with Disco Beaver and doing?
Yeah, a bit of both. There's I'm trying to do a bit more either solo, or if it is with Kyle, it'd just literally be me and him. We wouldn't get any randoms in, just because there's a trophy for taking your cat, you know, your Palico companion, on 100 hunts.
Wow, okay.
And of course, you only take your cat with you if you've not got a full team. The maximum you can have is 4. So it'd be me, if it's I'm playing with Kyle, it's me and Kyle, my cat and his cat.
Yeah.
And that makes up our team of 4. So I haven't got that trophy yet, so I need to try and, like, knock SOS and get randoms in.
Have you got the top-tier equipment yet? Is that something that you...
Ish.
Right.
I'm getting there.
Is it because is it the different ranks of equipment in there? Is it like
standard,
legendary?
We have like different rarities. So like rarity 8 is the top in there at the moment, with like white sharpness. And I've got some of them, but I haven't necessarily got the best armor set in the game defense wise yet. But I'm getting there. I'm not really having any problems. Like the whole thing with it being a bit too easy seems to be the general thing with the game at the moment.
Like we discussed with Brad last week, that you can make it as hard or easy as you want it to be, can't you?
Yeah. So I could make it harder on myself by not taking a Palico with me, but then, of course, I wouldn't have him with me to get the trophy. So
no, so you need it for the trophy. So
yeah,
absolutely.
And I'm still been playing a bit of Velatro.
Oh, yeah. How are you getting on with that?
Well, I've still not finished run. I think I'm pretty bad at it, to be honest.
Okay.
I think the highest I've got still is anti 8, and there's 8 antis to finish a run. Of course, you have these boss blinds at the end of each sort of ante that you need to beat to get on to the next ante. And they throw in all these kind of like crazy curveballs, like you can only use one hand for the entire ante, or you can't use the same hand more than once, or things like that.
Mm.
And so the boss blinds, when you get up to ante 6, are getting quite difficult, and I often fail it at that point.
All right, fair enough.
So yeah, not really masses to report this week for what you've been playing, but same as you, I pre-ordered Xenoblade Chronicles X months ago, and that's released tomorrow. My copy shipped today, but it's not coming from Amazon, it's coming Royal Mail, so I'm completely in the hands of the postman as to when I get it. And the last time I bought it from this particular place, Royal Mail didn't deliver it until a week late. So, and that was for Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Yeah.
Where I ended up getting impatient and just downloaded it on like the
Sunday. Yeah, you got the digital version. Yeah.
And the physical to you. So, we'll have to see whether it actually arrives tomorrow or it doesn't arrive till who knows when.
Well, fingers crossed it arrives tomorrow. Excellent. Right. We went to Retro Corner.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
Okay. So mine this week is Mega Man 2, which I played on the NES, and it released, it's made by Capcom and released in 1988 in Japan, 89 in US, and 1990 over here.
Right. So,
another one of the PAL gets screwed thing. It was 2 years after Japan got it by the time that we got it.
Yeah. Not uncommon in those days, was it?
No, unfortunately not. And Mega Man games, I mean, I would have thought most people listening have probably played one, but in case you haven't, it's a left-to-right side-scrolling platform shooter where you have like 8 different bosses to beat, and each there's the boss at the end of each level, and you can choose which level, you know, which order you do them in. And each boss that you beat gives you the particular weapon that they use in the fight. And I think something I never realized as a kid is that each boss has a weakness to another boss's weapon. So there is definitely an optimum order to do all the bosses in, you know, to all the levels in.
Yeah.
That will make it easier on yourself. And I think I ever finished it.
You never finished it?
No. Like,
I think you lost interest, or it was too hard?
No, it was too hard. My friend Reese had it, and I used to go into his house and play it with him. And I can't remember mentioning on a previous podcast, there's one bit in like the very last level that I couldn't do. And then when I downloaded it again on the Wii Virtual Console, because it was on there, I found it was still that same bit that I still couldn't beat anyway at this point.
They did have a reputation for being hard games, didn't they, Mega Man games?
Yeah, they are hard. But it's very sort of well-renowned game for the NES. I think Games Radar ranked it as their number two NES game ever.
Oh, right.
When Nintendo Power Magazine was still a thing in the US, they ranked it at number three.
Yeah.
Best game ever.
Yeah, I remember it being really popular in the like the NES and SNES era.
Yeah, so there's 11 Mega Man games in total these days, and 9, 10, and 11 are all the more recent ones. I think there was a big, massive gap after 8 until 9. And I think a lot of them were on the original NES, and then when the SNES came along, they swapped it to Mega Man X, which is like its own series, separate from the original Mega Man games. Yeah. I think there's three Mega Man X games on the Super Nintendo, but I think they carried on the PS1.
I think so, yeah. Did they bring out any Mega Man games on the Switch, or just like just the backwards compatible ones?
Yeah, I think it's just the backwards compatible. Well, I mean, you might be able to play 11 on the Switch, I haven't checked.
Yeah.
The NSO.
I mean, Nintendo Switch Online. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so yeah, the NSO has got, like, I think it's got a bunch of Mega Man games on the NES app, a bunch of them on the Game Boy app. I never really played the Game Boy versions. They were all separate from the NES versions. They were different games.
Yeah.
And I think some of the Mega Man X games are on the Super Nintendo NSO app.
Right. I think I have played a Mega Man game, but I couldn't tell you what system I played it on.
Right.
Maybe PS1, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was, bizarrely, it was always sort of tied, it was very much a Nintendo sort of franchise, even though it's not made by Nintendo. Like, I think there's one on the Mega Drive / Genesis, which is the Wily Wars, that was originally on the, what was it called? Like, Sega had like a download thing for the Mega Drive.
Oh, yeah.
Like a Sega channel or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was originally on that. And then they released it on cartridge in Europe and Japan, but not in the US.
Right.
So I think if you're in the US, you have to get a recreation cartridge for the Wily Wars if you want to play the Mega Drive version.
Yeah. Really odd back in those days, isn't it, for the different regions? Not kind of worldwide releases like it is these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, what's his name? Is it Inafune, who's generally considered as being like the father of Mega Man, even though he's really only an artist.
Yeah.
He went off, he left Capcom in frustration because they weren't doing anything with Mega Man, and went off to make Mighty Number 9, which was like the biggest kickstarted game ever, wasn't it? It was like 4 million they made, and they made umpteen stretch goals to put it on every platform imaginable, and the game was terrible.
Yeah.
And apparently,
you might have a good idea, but if you can't execute it, you know what I mean?
Apparently, some of the stretch goals were like making 3DS and Vita versions. And as far as I'm aware, those two versions have never come out, they've just been cancelled. And Amazon only cancelled people's pre-orders for the 3DS or Vita versions like this year, like 9 years after it was first announced.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? But yeah,
so yeah, that's about it. What's yours this week for Retro Corner?
So this week, this is the first game that I played on the PlayStation.
All right.
It's not a Tomb Raider. It's Blood Omen Legacy of Kain.
Right, yep.
So this game, my brother raved about it, and I didn't play it until I came down to London when I was on my first proper job, and I was staying with him for a while. And he put this game on. He goes, look at this game, Blood Omen Legacy of Kain. I'm like, what is it? He goes, just play it. And all right. And it's a top-down adventure / horror game. Yeah. You play as Kain, who's actually a vampire.
Yeah.
And you have to find a way of making your way through the game. I can't remember what the end game is, but basically you have to find your way through the landscape, get into the castle,
right,
defeat the big baddie, whatever it is. I'm kind of paraphrasing it because I'm going from my memory. But yeah, he has to, basically there's a balance that he has to restore in Nosgoth. This is the place that you're in.
Right.
And he's got to overcome these legions and kill the insane sorcerers to restore balance to the world. Mm-hmm. That's basically what he's got to do. And part of the game mechanic is, as you're a vampire, you have to drink blood.
Yeah.
You can either do it from like rats that are running around, but you have to occasionally do it from humans to get enough.
Right.
So that was like part of the game mechanic, to actually drink blood from people. It was actually kind of my first introduction to the PS1 as a system and this type of game. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I did play The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past on the SNES. I suppose it's the same kind of perspective, kind of top down.
Right.
It wasn't my first game that I played like this, but the first kind of quote unquote next gen game that I played on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
Actually really good. It actually spawned a sequel, which I never played. It came out years later.
Right.
Because the Soul Reaver games are known better than this game.
Yeah.
The legacy game, Soul Reaver games, which Kane is the actual bad guy in those games.
Oh.
If you actually play as Kane in this game, which is the first game that he was introduced.
Right.
So, yeah, you had different things that you could do. You could do mind control, being a vampire. You could change into mist, or you can change into bats. To like progress through the game and through the environment. It's right. Actually really good. I wouldn't mind playing it again. Like a remake of it would be a fantastic. I don't think that's going to ever happen. Then because I think that on the PS3 you could play PS1 games on the PS3.
Yeah, and I think wasn't that what Brad was talking about last week, where you had to have like a launch one.
No, this was ones that you could, because the launch PS3 you could play PS1 and PS2 games off disc.
The
PS3, no, well, kind of, but on the PS3 you could download PS1 games, right, from the store that would work on the PS Vita and on the PS3. There were certain titles that they did that, and this was one of them, and I never downloaded it. I actually searched it up a little while ago to see if there was a way to play it, and I think the only way you can play it now is on a Vita, but only if you purchased it, because of the Vita stores closed down now, or emulated. I think they do play it, which is a bit of a shame.
I think games preservation is quite a big thing, isn't it? Because like you say, an awful lot of games, if you don't already own them, there's no way to legally buy them now. And then that, like, Nintendo are infamous for not being a fan of emulation, but then when things aren't just available, what other choice do people have?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see. I mean, they've always been very protective of their IP, which is fair enough. But yeah, you know, give us a way to play it. They've gone kind of met us halfway with the Nintendo Switch Online, but it's not the full catalog of games of all the consoles.
No, there was definitely more on the Virtual Console than there is on NSO.
And you can't play Wii games or Wii U games on the Switch. No. You know, there's no way to play them. You have to play that on the original hardware.
Although an awful lot of Wii U things have imported to the Switch now, even the game that I'm about to get.
Yeah.
Sounds way to me, was originally a Wii U game.
Yeah. I mean, the Switch is actually classed as 8th generation game console, you know, to rival the PS4 and the Xbox One series. It's not like a PS5 or Xbox series level but you wouldn't want it to be, because it's portable. But it is, you know, the Switch is old now. It came out 8 years ago. So, you know, Switch 2, hurry up please.
The Direct is coming up on the 2nd of April, but I'm gonna be traveling that day on the train, so I probably won't be able to watch it. Inverted commas, live. I'm doing air quotes, which again, listeners can't see me.
Yeah, it depends what time of day it is. If I'm at work, I might not be able to watch it.
It'll probably be like 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I'll be probably at work.
So I might be able to watch it later as well.
So we'll have to compare notes and probably talk about it on a future podcast, no doubt.
Yeah.
So yeah, Blood Omen Legacy came, first PS1 game. Actually played it and completed it, and really good. I recommend it if you've got access to a PS1 and the original disc, maybe, but it's very hard to find these days. So we all kind of did a platinum watch, really, didn't we?
Yeah, like I said, you sort of started on it when what you were playing, so we won't really go back to that. We've done it.
Yeah, I'm really bad. Unless you've got anything to say about the trophies you're getting from Monster Hunter.
No, like I say, I need them on 60%. Unfortunately, at least some of them are to do with fishing.
Right.
And one of them is you have to catch 30 whoppers, which are like the massive fish. Mm-hmm. I have caught one.
Oh, great.
So we got one down, 29 to go.
Yeah. There's one of those trophies like that in Final Fantasy 15 that had to do a load of fishing. Mm. And I did it. I
got the fishing plan. In games is weird because, like, if they do it right, I can get really into it. Like, fishing in Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time was incredible.
Yeah.
And I spent far too much time in the fishing pond area in that game just doing the fishing.
Yeah.
And there was, like, some eel, like 30-pound eel I was trying to catch, and I think I've caught it.
Brilliant.
There's a fishing game on Dreamcast where you have, like, little fishing rods, like, accessories. Oh, I forget what it's called now. I've never had a Dreamcast. I had a friend that had it. But, yeah, you'd all have, like, this miniature fishing rod controller.
Yeah.
Use and then reel the fish in. And it was really good. So
Dreamcast was ahead of its time. It's such a shame.
It was.
The console failed. It's a real shame. But future Platinum Watch, I'm going to Platinum Assassin's Creed Shadows. So listen to me talking about that one in the future.
Have you got any fishing games that you liked or games with fishing in that you liked? Because a lot of time it's a bit of a chore.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of fishing in real life. So
no, in real life, I could.
But in games, even less so.
Right, okay.
I'm not a big fan of fishing in games.
Right.
I'll do it. If there's a trophy attached to it, I will do it. Which is why I did it for Final Fantasy 15. But as long as I spend the least amount of time fishing in a game, I will. It's like doing the in Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Right, yeah.
You have to play a certain amount of things on the piano. Cloud can play tunes on the piano.
Right.
And you have to play at least one of them perfectly to get a trophy.
Right.
I'm not doing that.
No.
I'm not doing that. It's too much hassle. So, you know, I put Rebirth down because I got bored with it. And I haven't gone back to it it came out nearly a year ago. And I played it solidly for a month. And I got very close to the end. And I'm like, after 75 hours, I'm like, I'm done with this game. I don't
want
to play it anymore. I didn't actually complete it. So it brings on to this week's topic.
Yeah.
And this was sent in as a suggestion from Mike Dine off Discord.
He's one of my friends.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
These are, our favourite consoles from every generation.
Yes.
Starting with the first generation.
First
generation was, they said it was first generation was from like 77 to like 83. That's the first generation, and the only thing I can think of, because I didn't really play video games when I was like 3 to 9, I suppose, when I was 8, but Pong is the only one I come on with.
Right. I didn't come in till third generation, so we can skip first and two if you want.
So we'll skip first, so we'll go to seconds now. Okay. I didn't own a console from the second generation. I had played, or my friend had one, which was an Atari 2600.
Right, yeah.
That was one of my first tastes of gaming, which was Pac-Man on the 2600.
Yeah.
And also the Intellivision.
Right.
Which was second generation console, apparently, which we played Dungeons and Dragons on.
Right.
Which basically all that was it consisted of screens of running up and down the screen of a man who had a bow and arrow and snakes trying to kill you and different things. And then there's next door neighbors, but one I think went around to play it on there.
Right.
I'm going to include this as my favorite console because which was a VIC-20 computer. That's how I started gaming. So not a console per se, but a computer that I played games on. That was my favorite because that's the only one I owned.
Yeah.
Things like Gorf, which was like a ripoff of Galaxian and Space Invaders, kind of mashup.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I play on there? There was Tank Command that I played on the VIC-20. This is when you used to load stuff off tape. You know, that's showing me age now. And you could put RAM packs in the back of it. Me and my mum, my dad, my sisters and brother used to play adventure games. There was one called Impossible Mission.
Right.
There was one called The Count, where it was all about to creep around. These are all text-based adventures, no graphics.
All right.
All text, yeah. Scott Adams games, they were.
Right.
VIC-20, second gen. What about yours?
So I've got no second gen because by 83 I was still three.
Yeah, of course. So I'm moving on to the third then.
Yeah. So you probably notice a pattern with mine and my Nintendo childhood will show its ugly heads in this as we go through. So we're going to just go through each generation and go back and forth between the two of us.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So my third generation choice was the NES. Which I had as a kid and absolutely loved. Got it with, I'm sure I've mentioned before, Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, and was my first sort of real introduction to gaming. Most of my friends had Master System, but then also I've probably mentioned before that some of them, their parents bought them Master System for Christmas and it came with a game built in, Alex Kidd in Miracle, whatever it was, and that was it. They never got any more games because the parents were like, well, you've got a game.
Just play that.
You just expect you to play it. And so my friend was like, do you want to play Alex Kidd? I was like, no, we've played it about a million times.
I've forgotten that came with the console.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, again, I'm not the Sega kid, so my memory might not be the best, but I think Master System 1 came with Alex Kidd. Master System 2 had Sonic built into it. Sonic 1, is that right?
It did, that's right. Sonic 1 was built in, that's correct.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what sold a lot of the Master System 2, I suppose, as you call it. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm old, didn't have any friends out of Master System 2. They all had Master System 1.
Mm.
And the weird little thing about the Master System is that it was super popular in Brazil, and it apparently didn't die in Brazil until, I don't know what year. Like, so some, it lasted way longer in Brazil than any other country in the world.
It's a bit like the Volkswagen Beetle got made in Brazil for a long time after they
they
ceased production in Europe, but that's just a car enthusiast.
Yeah. So I think the thing for Brazil was that, like, a PS5 or an Xbox is like the equivalent of $1,000 over there.
Jesus.
So because of that, the Master System, of course, isn't and is more affordable. So people kept buying Master Systems.
Yeah.
And then they kept making Master System games way longer than any other area in the world. And apparently they even made a version of Street Fighter for the Master System. Street Fighter 2.
That couldn't have been a good version of Street Fighter.
No.
It couldn't have been.
But they actually convinced, I think it was reverse engineered, and then they showed it to Capcom and they had a Mega Drive controller plugged in. So I tried to convince Capcom it was a Mega Drive version. And the guy was like, well, it probably needs some work, but okay, you can release it. So basically Capcom gave them the say-so, and then it was only after they got the say-so and they'd signed the contract that they said, oh, by the way, it's actually running on a Master System. Sneaky.
Yeah, very sneaky.
What's yours for third generation?
Well, I didn't own a NES. Again, it was more computer-based, so I'm going to go, it was Amstrad CPC 464.
Right.
Because that is the computer that I played, which was third gen.
Yeah.
So it came with a pack in Amsoft, which was like games that had been programmed by Alan Sugar's programming team. So it came with like 20 games on tape that you could play.
Wow. Nice.
Some of them were all right. Most of them were shit. Mm-hmm. But there was a good few games on the Amstrad CPC. A good few games. There was one called, was it Grisel? I think it was Grisel, which is basically a ripoff of, I can't remember the name of it now. Come back to me. Side-scrolling shoot-em-up game that was in the...
Gradius?
No, it was something else. It'll come back to me. But quite a good few games on the Amstrad CPC that I played. There was a game called Driller, which came out.
Right.
Which came out on the Spectrum as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the first kind of 3D type game. I mean, looking back at it now, it must have been awful to play, but it was, you know, they were using an engine called Freescape on you know, 8-bit computer with only 64K of RAM. So it wasn't at the time, even at the time, it was a bit, it's kind of pushing the limits of like this machine kind of thing. But I enjoyed playing it at the time because, you know, it was, I think I played Operation Wolf on there, which is like a on rail shooter from the arcade machine.
I think that was ported to things, wasn't there? There was ports of Operation Wolf. Was it for Master System or Mega Family?
Yep, sounds right. It came out on a lot of different systems because it was very popular in the arcade. Mm. There was a follow-up as well called Operation Thunderbolt, which was a follow-up arcade machine, which they also ported over. Mm. And they brought out, later, they brought out Amiga versions of it as well and Atari ST versions, I think. And even, there might have been a PC version, but I'm not sure about that. So, yeah, Amstrad CPC 464 on the third gen.
Right, cool.
So what was it? I think we're gonna have the same one for fourth gen.
Of course, I've got SNES.
Yeah, both got, I've got SNES as well.
Yeah.
I mean, my first experience of the SNES was my mate bought one, and I went around his house because he started an Amiga at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I started an Amiga as well, and he was playing Super Mario World. I'm like, what's this game? Because I was Super Mario World. I'm like, obviously, I'd heard of Mario before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is really good. He goes, yeah, it's really good. Super Mario All-Stars pack. And I went out and bought one.
Right, nice.
And played.
Did you get the pack that had the cartridge with Super Mario All-Stars and Mario World on it?
Yes.
Right, yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's the pack that I got.
Yeah.
And then not long after that is when I found out Super Mario Kart was like the best driving game I'd ever played. Played it so much. Brilliant game. Loved it.
Yeah, I loved Mario Kart back in the day. I mean, I've heard someone trying to argue before that Super Nintendo is the best console ever made, and I can kind of see where they're coming from. Like, the library is incredible.
Yeah. They did make a lot of games for SNES.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, it was the Super Famicom in Japan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The same, it's the same system, just a different name.
Yeah. And it's the design is the same as ours as well, because the American one is
horrible.
Yeah, it's
plastic. Yeah, not nice. Yeah,
sorry to any of our American listeners.
For the European
was grim.
Version for sure.
Yeah,
because I always thought the PC Engine was the same thing, but it wasn't. It's PC Engine was something different.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
PC Engine is TurboGrafx, isn't it? Isn't that the same thing?
I think so I always used to get confused. About that back in the magazines, like I always thought PC Engine was like the Japanese version of the SNES, but
it's Super Famicom. But SNES was obviously his first home console to have a version of Street Fighter 2 on it, so it had a load of really good RPGs, a load of good sports games.
Starwing was brilliant on it, loved playing that, some really good games on that. So there is an argument, I don't know if it's the best video game console of all time. I mean, isn't it the PS2 which has sold the most units?
But then this Switch potentially is going to catch it. I mean, it's slowing down in sales now, but it could still catch the PS2.
Could do.
But I know the SNES is still very beloved to this day, and there's definitely a very big argument that the 16-bit consoles, the SNES, Mega Drive, and such, have aged a lot better than 8-bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
8-bit is very dated now.
Yeah, if you go back and play a NES now, the games don't hold up that well.
No.
But the SNES games do hold up pretty well.
Yeah. Like, the art style for a lot of them, and a lot of, like, the sort of big franchises that are still around today sort of started out life on the SNES.
Yeah. I mean, my first Zelda game I played on the SNES, which was Link to the Past. I loved that game.
Mm-hmm.
I completed it a couple of times because it was such a good Zelda game.
Yeah.
You know, was it the only Zelda game that came out on the SNES?
It was, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was really enjoyable, that game. One of the first games where I played to completion, because back in those days, I didn't really complete games, really.
No.
I used to play maybe 70% of the games and move on to the next one.
Yeah,
that I've made a point of completing it. It was great. Still, it holds up really well now, even like 30 years later. It's still a really good game.
Like, I've got the Game Boy Advance version that will play on a DS, and it's basically the same as the SNES version. There's some minor differences.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you say, it still holds up.
Yeah, holds up well. So, should we move on to fifth gen?
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to go first?
PS1.
Right. I got N64.
Well, I played a lot of PS1.
Right.
After playing Blood Omen Legacy of Kain that I mentioned earlier on the PS1, I was hooked on getting one then. And when I bought one, pretty much as soon as after I completed, got F1 97, got Tomb Raider and Tomb Raider 2.
Because you had an N64 before you had a PlayStation, right?
No, I had a PlayStation 1 first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I only bought an N64 for Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
And then also a little game you might have heard of, GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought the N64 for those, but I had my PlayStation 1 first.
Oh, right. I thought you said one of the previous episodes you got your N64 first, because you said you bought your PS1 in 97.
Yeah, I thought I had bought the N64 first, but I'd actually bought PlayStation 1 first. So right. I'd correct myself there. All right. So, yeah, well remembered.
Okay.
But yeah, PlayStation 1, because I played Tomb Raider, Tomb Raider 2.
Mm.
Then I played Wipeout as well. I don't know why I played that, because I didn't really enjoy it, because it was too did your eyes in that game. You got a prodigy, and you know their track that they had on it was just like a nightmare. And then what else did I play on it? I liked on it. I'm trying to remember now. They were the main games I think that I played on it originally. But you N64 for you, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So. Like you said, Ocarina of Time. I also got Majora's Mask, which I infamously didn't finish. I got to the very last boss of Majora's Mask and couldn't beat him. Because there's a whole thing in Majora's Mask that if you get all of the masks in the game, because it involves doing all of the side quests, then you grow up to Adult Link for the last boss, and it makes the last boss a lot easier.
Right.
Whereas if you've not got all the masks, like I hadn't, you're still Kid Link, and it's a lot more challenging.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I could never do it. But like yourself, GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, which I know the masses in general prefer GoldenEye to Perfect Dark, but I very much, after we got Perfect Dark, moved on to that, and then GoldenEye was out the window then.
Yeah. GoldenEye was great. I mean,
it was, but
memories of it are great.
Like, yeah, no, it was great at the time, but Perfect Dark is the better game.
Yeah, I remember having this memory of GoldenEye where you used the watch to escape the train, where you've got the little beam coming out the watch and you get in the jump.
I mean, talking about games that not held up that well, GoldenEye is one of them, unfortunately.
It doesn't hold up well at all. I mean, at the time, I thought it was like the best game I've ever
played. Yeah.
But it doesn't hold, the graphics are terrible. The level design's not great. That, you know, the controls are cumbersome. But at the time, it was like you're playing as James Bond, you know. Pierce Brosnan, James Bond.
Yeah.
And then the final fight at the satellite dish at the end, you know, it was great. Loved it.
There's a great documentary about GoldenEye, if you haven't
seen it. I think I watched it,
It's on Amazon Prime. It's very much worth watching if you haven't seen it.
Mm.
So, yeah, obviously Mario Kart 64, I was a big fan of that as well. And the fact it had four controllers, we used to play four-player for some games. And Smash Brothers started out life on the N64, although I don't think I've really played that much of it. I maybe rented it.
Mm. There was a version of Mission Impossible on the N64 as well, which I did play. I couldn't say anything about it because I can't remember it at all.
I did play it.
I don't think I completed it, but I played it.
Cool.
Because didn't Resident Evil 2 come out on the N64 as well?
Yeah, that's like the Impossible port
for
the N64. Because the fact that they crammed in that whole game, including the cutscenes, onto a cartridge.
Yeah.
Minor miracle they managed. I mean, it's compressed, so of course the sound isn't as good as it was on the PS1 original, but the fact that it even is on there and it runs, and of course with very minimal loading times compared to the PS1 version because it's on a cartridge.
Yeah, that was the other game I bought originally with my was it original? No, it was a few months after I got my PS1. I got Resident Evil 2.
And so you played the first one?
I'd never played the first one.
Right.
I played the second one.
Right.
That's my first Resident Evil game, and there was two discs. So one was Chris and one was Claire.
Yeah.
So then you could play from each other's perspective, which was, I was amazed by that at the time. Like, this is the same game, but it's from two different people. Wow.
So I remember playing the original Resi on, I had a friend who had it on PS1, and he had a little guidebook thing, because we were like 15 or something, weren't we, at the time. And he insisted we played it in the dark. So you give me a torch, and I had to use a little guidebook. I was sat with the torch trying to look at this little guidebook while he played, and we bricked it. We were proper scared. But the thing is, when you look back at that, the PS1 version now, it's not very scary. It's also well lit. It's like really bright. It's
the what gets you all the jump scares in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think we ever finished it. Even though I had the guide, it got free with like a magazine or something. We still didn't finish it.
Yeah. I never played the original on PS1. I still haven't played it to this day. I played the remake that they put on the PS4, the GameCube remastered version.
Yeah. So did you play it on GameCube or only on the
PS4? No, I played it on PS4.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I played and completed it. It's a good game.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good remake of that one. So let's move on to sixth generation. I've got GameCube.
Same as me.
Wow.
Yeah. What a console.
I mean, I had a PlayStation 2 for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got my GameCube. I'm like, because apparently at the time I wasn't allowed more than one game console.
Right.
You can only have one. Why? Because you can only afford one. I'm like,
okay.
Okay.
Did you sell your PS2 to get your GameCube?
Yes, I did. Yes. Yeah, I did. And I played, what was the first game again? I played in the GameCube. Well, just before PS2, I played Jack and Daxter.
Right.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Shadow of Memories, which I've mentioned before. I played, what was the 3D version of Ghouls and Ghosts?
It was, I
can't remember off the top of my head. Come back to me. And then I moved on to GameCube and played Wind Waker.
Right, yeah.
Really enjoyed Wind Waker. Although I did enjoy it at the time, but looking back on it, it was a slog, that game.
Yeah.
Sailing you had to do to get between the islands.
Yeah, so I've got the Wii U version, which I've barely played. Yeah. But in the Wii U version, like obviously I played it much more on GameCube originally than the Wii U version. But on the Wii U version, there's a sail you can get that doubles the speed that your ship can go at.
That's right.
And they've also done something. They've done something to make the Triforce hunt later on a bit easier.
Easier, yeah. I heard they changed it up a bit. I mean, they released Skyward Sword on the Switch as an HD version.
Yeah.
Why don't they do Wind Waker?
I don't know. So after they put both Wind Waker and Twilight Princess onto Wii U, the big rumor was that they were going to do a double pack and do like a double release of them on the Switch.
Mm.
It's just never happened.
Never happened, has it? Why? No.
But yeah, GameCube is probably my favorite console ever.
Yeah. I mean, we mentioned it a few times on the various episodes, anyway. I remember playing Star Fox Adventures. We talked about that before.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that one.
I had a Panasonic Q, mm-hmm. which is the Japanese.
Yeah, that was like the silver one, wasn't it?
I had one of them. And then I had three GameCubes. I had a Japanese one that's modded to play American games. I've still got it upstairs. I had a silver one and a black one. And the black one I lent out to my friend Hat, who I think she'd lost her somehow. So I lent her mine on like a long-term loan sort of thing. I wasn't really expecting to get it back or not, to be honest. And then eventually she did give it back to me, bless her, after about 5 years. But I completely forgot about the fact that she's a smoker. It's a bit sort of nicotine damaged now.
What you got to do, you got to go and put it in one of those ozone cupboards to get rid of all the smell.
I don't know where I could get one of them.
Yeah, I don't know where you'd be able to do it, to be honest.
No. I don't think it does still work, just about.
Just smells tobacco.
Yeah, but it's just a bit discolored and stuff these days. Mm-hmm. But I've still got my silver GameCube in my living room with a 4K adapter, so it will play on my telly. Wow. Some of the games don't, like, I've got both Mario Tennis and Mario Golf, and you can't see the ball on my 4K telly.
That's not much good, is it? Jesus.
It's not too much of a problem with golf. You can just about get through it. But Mario Tennis is now impossible to play because you can't return the ball because you can't see it.
I'll see it. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it must be the way it renders it. It just can't display it.
Yeah.
Weird.
And obviously F-Zero GX, we've talked about on previous episodes. That was a GameCube game. That game's incredible. They should definitely do a new version or a remaster of that. There's just too many games on GameCube for me to list them all that I just absolutely love. I think, weirdly, so Twilight Princess was a GameCube game all through development, pretty much, and then they moved it to the Wii as a launch game.
Yeah.
And it was the very last GameCube game to release, But it came out after the Wii version. So
yeah, Wii version came out, and then the GameCube version came out. Weird, isn't it?
I got it with my Wii, the launch game, and then the GameCube version came out like 3 weeks later. The thing is, they're flipped, because on the Wii version, you swing the Wii remote, and most people are right-handed. So to make Link right-handed, they flipped the entire game.
So
if you play the GameCube version, what is on the right-hand side on Wii is actually on the left-hand side on GameCube.
I didn't know that. Wow. Oh, my God.
But the GameCube version is super expensive now. If you want to try and get it, you're looking at, like, at least 75 quid on eBay.
Yeah, well, it was... They only did a limited run of it because they wanted to push it onto the Wii version.
Well, yeah, because also the GameCube was pretty dead at that point.
True.
So, yeah...
I played my first Prince of Persia game on the green on the GameCube. You know, the first one.
Yeah. Sands of Time.
Sands of Time. Yeah, I played that on the GameCube.
So you sent me that wretched documentary that was like 4.5 hours long.
Wretched, you loved it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what I'm saying wretched for, because I finished watching it in chunks, and then immediately went on eBay and ordered like Sands of Time. What's the second one? Warrior Within and Two Thrones. So
I'm not responsible for the way that you spend your money.
Yeah, fair dues. But the other thing is that I bought the second and third one are fine, but the first one, like, there was one auction that was way cheaper than the rest.
Mm.
I obviously didn't read the description properly. And so when Sands of Time arrived, it's not even got a proper box. It's just literally a disc.
Disc, yeah, yeah. Good game. I really enjoyed
it. It was a really good documentary. I say wretched, but only because it made me spend money.
Yeah. You haven't played the latest Prince of Persia game, have you, on the PS4?
No.
Yeah.
So it's a roguelite, isn't it?
I guess. I mean, you unlock checkpoints and you progress, but it is a good game. I have completed it. I don't think I'll be getting the platinum because it's one of those games that's got really tricky platform sections in. Like, there's one section... I watched a video of it. I'm like, I can't. I'm not going to be able to do that. So, and you have to do it is to get a certain thing to get a trophy. So, I doubt I'll be getting a platinum for that.
Right.
Although I said this before, I doubt I'll get the platinum. I'll go back and get the bloody platinum. I've done it before. But, Like I thought, I'd never get the platinum for Doom Eternal because I hated that game when it first came out. And when I went and got the platinum when the PS5 version came out.
Why did you hate it?
It was the platforming sections
that
were put into it. When I played on PS4, I'm like, what have they done to Doom? This is not a platformer. This is a first-person shooter. I want to kill demons.
Mm.
And it was so frantic. I'm like, and you had to involve. I'm like, no. I was checked out. And then the PS5 version came out. Oh, I'll give this another try. Completed it. I'm like, now I've got to get the platinum for it. So I jumped online with two random American guys that I found on a forum, gave them my PlayStation ID.
Yeah.
And we spent like a whole night on a weekend in multiplayer getting what we needed to get the trophy.
Before we move on, Rockstar only ever released one game on GameCube. Do you know what it is?
Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Nope. No GTA on GameCube.
It wasn't the table tennis game, was it?
It wasn't what?
It wasn't the table tennis game.
No, there's one of them on Wii.
Bully?
No, that's on Wii as well.
Fuck, don't know then.
It's Smuggler's Run.
Oh, I forgot about that game.
Which was like a PS2 launch game.
Yes,
I think the GameCube version is called Smuggler's Run War Zones or something.
Right.
And it's like an upgraded version
about that game. Okay.
It's an upgraded version of the PS2 version on GameCube. That was literally the only Rockstar game on GameCube. Yeah, no, so they released a GTA on, was it DS or 3DS or both?
There was a version on the DS, I think.
Yeah, Chinatown Wars.
Yes.
But there's no GTA on GameCube, unfortunately.
That's a shame.
A lot of my mates who had PS2 or Xbox were like, oh, I'd think about buying GameCube if they put GTA on it, but they won't. No. So,
So it moves us on to 7th gen. I've got PS3.
Okay, I've got Xbox 360.
Yeah, well, there we go. I mean, I played a lot of PS3 because I did have an Xbox 360 for a number of years. So, but I think PS3 just edged it out, and I'll tell you why. So Xbox 360 I bought specifically so I could play Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion,
which
wasn't on PS3 originally. Okay. It didn't come out on PS3 until a few years after it came out on Xbox.
Right.
So that's why I bought the Xbox 360, and I played a couple of launch games on Xbox 360, Cameo, Perfect Dark Zero. So I put, I think it was Halo 2 and Halo 3. No, Halo 3 on the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
So I did play those, really enjoyed those. But PS3, I got convinced that it was a better console than 360 because of the overheating problems, which mine did overheat on me twice.
Right.
And I played Uncharted.
Right.
That's what convinced me to buy a PS3.
Okay.
And I preferred the controller.
Right.
I liked that it was a Blu-ray player because the 360 had the HD DVD drive, didn't it?
As an add-on, if you bought it, add-on.
But, you know, PS3 could play Blu-rays.
Yeah.
Yeah, I preferred the controller. I liked the interface better.
Right.
I thought the games were better developed for it because it was hard hard console to develop for, PS3.
Well, PS3 was, yeah.
Yeah, it had more...
That's the thing. When you say the games are better developed for, if it was something that's just on PS3, then yes, I agree with you. Yeah,
the exclusives, I think, is what I had the PS3 for.
Right. But if it was a multi-format, the 360 would always be the lead platform.
Correct.
And then the PS3 versions would quite often be worse than the 360 version.
That's right. But I think I preferred PS3 more because of the exclusives on that console.
Right.
Because they were better games. Right. You know, things like Metal Gear Solid 4. Amazing game. You know, the exclusives on the PS3 is what swung me in the end, I think. Like Uncharted and Uncharted 2 and Uncharted 3.
Right.
So, you know, those games and, what was it, Metal Gear Rising, where you play as Raiden, or a cyborg version of Raiden.
Yeah.
It was really good. That might come on 360 as well, didn't it? I can't remember.
It did come on PS3. So yeah. 360 as well, yeah.
Yeah. But no, that PS3 was my favourite. But Xbox 360, I'm guessing, was yours.
Yeah, so Xbox 360 had Mass Effect, the very first game, wasn't on PS3 until a lot later. I think it didn't get released on PS3 until they did the trilogy. You could buy all three of them together on PS3.
The original Mass Effect on PS3 came out after Mass Effect 3, that's right.
Yeah. And you had Bioshock, was on 360, wasn't on PS3 until however long later.
That's right.
I'm sure there's some more. So there's a bunch of things that were on 360 that weren't on PS3 until
later. You had the Halo games, you had the Gears games, Gears of War games, which weren't on PS3. So they were really good. I mean, I had both of them, but PS3 just edged it out for me. But Xbox 360 was an amazing console.
No, I'm in the minority that never had any issues because I didn't get a 360 until 2000 and it was either 7 or 8. And I got one with a 360 Elite.
Right.
Which allegedly were, again, doing air quotes, better made than the base models.
They spent probably, it's got to go down in history as, you know, one of the most expensive things, but they were able to do it where they spent $1 billion.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
On that program where you could return your Xbox 360, get it repaired and get it back again.
Yeah.
Until they redesigned it and it was a lot better.
Yeah,
but no, the 360 was a really good console.
Yeah,
I played some really good games on there, like I said. But I think the PS3 exclusive just edged it out for me.
Right. Okay. So did you sell your 360 to buy your PS3?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Again, only allowed one console.
Right. Okay.
So, it went PS2, GameCube, Xbox Original, Xbox 360, PS3.
Right.
And it didn't have all of them at the same time. It was one traded in.
When you say only allowed, this surely wasn't your mum anymore. This was like your missus by this point.
Yes. Well, it's not my mum would have let me have as many as I wanted. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. If I bought them and had the money for them, she wouldn't have cared.
All right.
Okay. No, this was, So, 8th generation.
Yeah, I sort of cheated a bit for this because I was going to put Switch down for 9th. But then realized that Switch is at the end of this.
At the end of the 8th, yeah.
So I put PS4/Nintendo Switch.
Right, okay. So I've just got PS4.
Right, okay.
So because I played more games on PS4 than any other system that I've ever owned. I don't know why that is. It's just that the PS4 hit the sweet spot in regards for me, for again, because I'd been converted to PlayStation on the PS3 version, the controller, yeah. The DualShock, I just prefer it as a controller.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I stuck with PlayStation with. Mm-hmm. And the interface is really good on the PlayStation 4 compared to the Xbox One. It's just clumsy. Yeah. Even now on the Xbox Series, it's not a great interface, I don't think. Yeah. Not that I'm saying the PS5 is great, but it's much more manageable.
Mm.
But the PS4, I mean, I got Pro as well.
Yeah. A
few years into the journey.
I got a Pro as well eventually, yeah.
Yeah. Did I get the PS4 on launch? Pretty sure. No, I didn't. That's right. I had to get it a few months afterwards. Yeah. I had a PS3 and I couldn't get my PS4 for financial reasons until about 3 or 4 months after it launched.
Right, yeah.
And I got it in the February of 2014, where it came out in the November, I think.
November 2013, yeah.
And, played a lot of games on the PS4, a lot of games. Really enjoyed that system. And the Pro, I even bought a Spider-Man PS4 Pro Special Edition.
Right.
And my original Pro, I traded it in, I think. Mm. And then I ended up selling the PS4 Pro version a few years ago. So I was still living down south. Yeah. So PS4 Pro / Switch for you.
Yeah, so this is
torn between them, or
yeah, so some listeners won't really believe this, but PS4 was my first PlayStation.
Right.
Like I say, I was always staunching Nintendo back in the day. So I never really had a PlayStation. Like I had, when I say PS4 was my first PlayStation, it's my first proper one. Like I did end up with a PS1. But not for the reasons that most people buy one. Back when PS1 was out, I was very much playing N64.
Mm-hmm.
My hi-fi that used to have back in the day died, and I couldn't afford a new CD player.
Right.
And my mate was like, just go to Warp 9. So Warp 9 was like the little local video game and rental shop. And he was like, go and buy a secondhand PS1 from there, and you can play CDs through your TV with that. So I think I got a secondhand PS1 for like 30 quid from them.
Right. To use as a CD player.
And then was just using it to play music, yeah. And then I think one of my friends was like, you mean you've got a PlayStation, you've not got any games? So he went and bought me like Resi 3. And that's one of the things that when Matt and I first sort of became friends, and he was looking, he's like, so you've got a PS1, but you've only got Resi 3. And I was like, yeah, pretty much. And he's like, I can finish that in 6 hours, you know, in one go. And I was like, no, you can't.
Go on then, show me.
Yeah, and he did.
Brilliant.
Just in like one sitting. So yeah, the first PlayStation I properly owned, you know, for actually using as a game system was the PS4.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what year it was. I got it maybe 2014, maybe 2015. And then eventually upgraded to a Pro. And same as yourself, I got rid of my Pro a couple of years ago when I had a PS5 and the Pro was sat gathering dust upstairs.
Yeah.
And I realized I could get like 200 quid off CEX for it. So I went and traded it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the PS4 was obviously a great machine. Had an awful lot of games.
I think with the PS4, when it first launched, and they did the same kind of the same thing with PS5 is, a lot of the first wave of games for PS4 were remasters of PS3 games.
Yeah.
And like, well, what's this about? Why haven't we got like original games for the PS4? Things did come out like Knack and The Order 1886 and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like the first wave of games, like these PS3 games just up-resed. Where's the actual next-gen games?
Yeah.
And a lot of people said that for PS4 to PS5 as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the Switch, for an 8th gen, because it is effectively an 8th gen, because it's what, 8 years old now.
Yeah,
it's still a good console, but it's just showing its age now.
Yeah, it's just great, and it's got an incredible library. And as we touched on last week with Brad, weirdly, it's got the most adult games, inverted commas, of three consoles.
Yeah,
so if that's your jam, you know, go fill your boots with on the eShop.
Yeah,
I mean, it's obviously got its issues, mainly the horsepower being so outdated at this point.
Yeah.
But
the processor in it is a mobile processor.
Yeah.
That's the actual that's what's holding it back, really.
Yeah.
It's just the age of the tech in it.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Switch 2, the library itself. Oh, yeah. And Switch 2 is coming.
Switch 2 is coming. So this year, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
We'll find out soon, won't we?
Yeah.
So, ninth gen, we both own PS5 and Xbox Series.
Yeah.
I prefer the PlayStation 5 over the Xbox.
Yeah, I think we both put PS5 down.
Yeah. Just because, again, the controller, I find it easier to use, the interface, you know, the upgradability of it. I mean, that you got to buy that stupid expansion card for the Xbox Series X. I'm not sure about the S. It's probably the same way. It's like a 2 terabyte, and it costs like 150 quid. Who's going to pay that?
Well, yeah, but then at the same time, you could buy a PS5, like a memory.
Yeah.
Upgrade thing, can't you? But I haven't done.
I have done with mine. I did get 2 terabyte. Mine's got 2 terabyte in it, which was, to be fair, it was less than 100 quid. I think it was like 90 quid.
Okay.
I've had two. This is my second one. I've got a 500 gigabyte one that I got originally,
right?
And now I've got a 2 terabyte one in there.
Was it difficult to install?
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Nice
for me, anyway. You know, working in IT, it was about the easiest thing you can probably do. You literally take the cover off, unscrew a screw, put it in, screw it in, done.
All right, cool.
It's easy. Ways for me, anyway. So, but yeah, PS5. I've really enjoyed PS5. I mean, it's only been really like the last year or two, I would say, with games like Lies of P,
and
Final Fantasy Rebirth. You know, Warhammer, Space Marine 2, where it's really starting to show what it can do.
Well, we're about halfway through the life cycle at this point, aren't we?
Yeah, they're starting to utilize it, and then they put out a pro version. I'm like, really?
Not 700 quid.
No. It's just to make more money. You know, I've considered the pro a couple of times, but it just can't justify the cost. There's no point.
Too much.
There's no
especially
point
with no disk drive.
Yeah, no. Not at this point. Maybe in the future. I mean, things like Death Stranding 2 that are coming out, which are PS5 Pro enhanced. Even Assassin's Creed Shadows is enhanced with PS5 Pro. So they're starting to put that badge on.
I mean, Wilds.
It's only a few bells and whistles graphics.
Yeah. So Wilds is PS5 Pro enhanced, but I'm still not convinced.
Nah. All you'll get is it'll look a bit smoother. Maybe the frame rate will be a bit more stable.
Yeah.
At the moment, it doesn't seem like a compelling reason to have a Pro, really.
No.
The Xbox Series X that I've got, I've enjoyed the games that I played on there. I played Indiana Jones and the Great Circle on there.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. I played a little bit of Starfield, which I didn't really enjoy, unfortunately. I played a bit of Avowed, and I played like an hour or two of Gears of War 5. But was Gears of War 5 an Xbox One or was it Xbox Series?
I thought it was Series, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I literally played like an hour or two of Gears 5.
Yeah,
and that is all I played on the Series X because I just prefer playing on the PlayStation. It's just my
that's fair enough
console of choice.
Yeah, but it does have Game Pass. And Game Pass gets the day one first party games.
Yes, that is the one advantage that it has over PlayStation for sure.
Yeah,
because you've got PS Plus, but I'm renewing mine literally next week, I think, and I've gone down to the lowest tier. I started on Premium.
Yeah.
Then I went down to Essential. Extra.
Yeah.
Now I'm down on Essential, which is the lowest tier because. It's just not that good value for money, really.
Well, no, I mean, the top tier is like 135 quid a year, isn't it?
Ridiculous. And it ain't worth that.
No.
It ain't worth that. Yes, it lets you stream games, PS4, PS5, and PS1 and PS2 games.
Yeah.
It lets you stream them. And PS3 games as well. But the catalogue just isn't that good. Sorry, Sony. Like you misstepped there for me, really. The Game Pass has been great for ages, and I've only really just recently utilized it for, Indiana Jones and Avowed, and probably Atom Fall as well.
Yeah.
I'll be probably playing that on. I mean, if I like it enough, maybe I'll purchase it on PlayStation and get the Platinum. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, I suppose we could finish off with 10th gen, but that's like, because Switch 2 technically is going to be a 9th gen console.
Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah, so because PS6 and whatever new Xbox is.
Whatever the new Xbox is going to be called. Possibly a handheld. They've put that out there.
Well, yeah, allegedly they're doing a handheld this year and then a new home console in 2027. Mm. So they're all a little way away, yeah.
And yeah, yeah. You know what? They're definitely working on them, but it's what is. Because I haven't felt like the leap from PS3 to PS4 was great.
Right.
The leap from PS4 to PS5, not as big a leap, I don't think, tech-wise. Mm. You know, it's the same from Xbox 360 to Xbox One, and that was quite a big leap.
Yeah.
You know, technology-wise. But they're always lagging behind PC. Probably the PC people out there are probably screaming at us, going, why don't you get a PC? I'm like, I can't bother. Oh. It's too expensive.
Yeah. It's a hassle.
Too much hassle. Sorry, people.
Yeah.
You know, it's too much hassle to keep on top of that, you know. But yeah, that was enjoyed talking about that. That was a good section.
Cool.
So I think we're coming done. The outro now, haven't we?
Yeah.
Do you want to do the honors?
You can find us on Blue Sky, Two Guys, Three Consoles, on Instagram, Two Guys, Three Consoles. We've also got an email, which is twoguys3consoles@yahoomail.com, but that's all written words, guys, three consoles. We've got Discord.
Yep.
Which is free to join. Anyone's welcome to join the Discord if you want to come talk to us. Is there much else?
We've got a YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah, we've got a YouTube channel, which is...
It's your Two Guys, Three Consoles on YouTube.
Right, okay, yeah, cool.
Yep. Which is just audio only.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a Facebook page.
Oh, we have, yeah. We've got a Facebook group, yeah. You can come join that.
You can come and join that. I set that up a little while ago.
Yeah, and then from a personal stuff, I am J_Monster on Instagram. And JMonster without the underscore on Blue Sky.
Yeah. Did you mention TikTok?
I think I mentioned TikTok, didn't I?
TikTok, yeah. So, and if you want to get me on Instagram, it's mleach26, and I'm mattleach1 on Blue Sky. So thanks very much for joining me, Jeremy, on episode 10.
Yeah, thank you to everyone for listening.
Yeah, and we will see you on the next episode. Thanks, everyone.
All right, thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Bye.